Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
This podcast is part of E2C Network, where we share the whole Auburn experience.
War Eagle Auburn fans, welcome to No Huddle, your source for Auburn football news and discussion, part of the E2C Network. I'm AJ Richardson, and I'm also here with a special guest, somebody very special to me, my beautiful wife, Erica Richardson. How are you doing, Erica?
I'm doing great. Yeah. I think I finally caught up from sleep from the game last night.
Because of the rain delay, we stayed almost through the whole thing, like the whole rain delay, and then we were like, we got 2-hour drive back to Atlanta, and it took us pretty much the same, 2 hours, but we didn't get back until like 1 or something, so.
Yep.
we got our naps in this afternoon. Felt good.
Oh yeah, gotta have those Sunday naps.
Exactly. But how did you enjoy the game, first game of the year?
It was exciting. I mean, even on the drive down, I was like just getting so excited about getting to be back in Auburn and just getting to watch a game with you again. You get so pumped and excited about it. It's just fun to watch the games with you.
Yeah. My wife always tells me that I just get, really, I see it as just, I'm having a lot of fun, but like, I'm sure people around me are like, this guy is really intense when he's watching a game.
It's like, typically you're one of the loudest people around us. Yeah. I feel like.
I probably am. And I'll take that. I mean, yeah. I enjoy watching football games, getting animated. I mean, obviously I do a podcast, so, I love Auburn football. So I think it's just, my showing that. So I really enjoy that. But yeah, overall, Auburn played pretty well, won the game 42-16 against Mercer. This was Auburn's first win since October of last year. So, for the fans and the players, I feel like this was a win that has been long waited, especially with us losing the last 5 games of a season last year. I'm just happy to get back, get a W, start out the year. So we're going to do our normal kind of review. So we're going to talk overall, and then we're going to jump into different position groups and talk a little bit more detail about that. So first off, we're going to talk about high level, things that we observe. We were both at the game, and I want to get your opinion on a couple different things. So they showed the jungle video, which I thought was kind of interesting. Like, I was I like the theme, and then it made me think, why, like, the basketball, student section is called the jungle.
Oh, yeah.
Are they going to, like, bring that over?
Yeah, I mean, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that, but I love the theme of the jungle. They showed that multiple times throughout the game. Like, the player intros, it kind of came out walking out of the jungle. It was pretty cool.
Yeah,
I like
it. Got me pumped.
Yeah. So, I like that. That was a good touch. Something else overall, this was a smaller detail. I think Clint Richardson pointed this out, that the captains this year have a little captain's patch on their uniform. It's like a orange patch that has a C on it. And that's something that's never been done before, at least at Auburn. And this is something, if you watch some professional sports, they'll have some sort of designation on a jersey. And so they'll do that. So Auburn this year, we've got our 3 permanent, John Samuel Schenker, Derek Hall, and Owen Papo. Those are the 3 ones that will have that on them. But we also do have a kind of a rotating captain that will be that 4th captain. So this time it was Shedrick Jackson, who's a senior, so I feel like that was well deserved. Did you even notice the little patch? I mean, we were sitting
pretty
high.
No, I didn't.
Up.
I know we did. We were kind of far up or higher up in the stands, so I didn't really notice. But I'll definitely have to pay more attention next week for the game.
Yeah. Well, I thought it stood out really well because it was on the Navy uniforms, and it was like this bright orange patch, and you're like, that's a little different. So
yeah, I was not paying attention to that.
It was pretty hard when we were a little bit further up.
Yeah.
One other thing, and you noticed this as soon as we walked in the stadium.
Yes. We walked into the stadium, and there was this big stand set up of chicken salad chick. And so then now they serve that in Jordan Harris. That was really exciting because I love chicken salad chick. And I don't know, I just was surprised that they hadn't had that in the stadium sooner because, I mean, wasn't it founded in Auburn?
Yeah.
So that was exciting.
Yeah, now they're serving that. You know, you can get your Chick-fil-A and you can get some chicken salad chick. So, you know, we love our good fried chicken, but my wife loves her some chicken salad. So, yeah. I mean, anytime she can get some, she usually gets it.
Oh, yeah.
Another kind of interesting thing, this was a little bit different. This was a new segment that Auburn did. And when it came up on the screen, it was so good. If you've watched like The Masked Singer on TV, you know, where the people dress up and like you try to guess who it is. They did something very similar. It was called The Face Masked Singer. You may have seen, you know, a video of it. I think some are floating around on social media. But it's, you know, a guy from the football team puts a helmet on, visor, that you can't see who their face is. And you have to guess who's singing. And they sing like a, you know, hit song. In this case, it was You Belong With Me.
Taylor Swift.
Which was awesome. And you get probably about 30 seconds of them singing or so. And it was just so good. What was your thoughts on that?
I mean, I had no idea who the player was, but you knew right away. They gave three options, but before they even gave the three options, AJ was like, oh yeah, that's Anders. I'm like, how did you know?
I don't know. So they showed like, you know, pretty much from like mouth up. So
it was kind of dark.
Yeah. They did. They hid them pretty well, but I was like, this guy's tall just based on his neck. I was doing the analysis and it was kind of, then when he hit some high notes, I was like, I could totally see, like, Anders hitting those high notes. It was pretty great.
Yeah, he did great.
Yeah, he did awesome. And I think it was right immediately after, after we scored a touchdown, Anders goes out and kicks off, and he just booms it. And you're like, I think Anders just hyped himself up after seeing it.
I think so.
Like, how, I don't know, I feel like that would be a little mortifying to sing in front of, you know, 87,000 fans.
I mean, I wouldn't do it, so, I don't know about you, but.
Yeah, I mean,
no,
maybe.
Thank you.
I mean, I enjoy singing in the car, but I don't know about 87,000 people.
No.
So, that's pretty fun. A couple other things, you know, obviously the Lightning delay, there's a whiteout. Which, you know, those two, very interesting, you know, combos there.
They
I feel bad.
Like, they should have done, like, a Navy out or something.
Yeah.
Instead, not a white out.
Yeah, I feel bad for people. But Auburn, after it was a little over an hour Lightning delay. Like we mentioned, we were kind of in the car already leaving. And, you know, we get out and then we get a few texts that the game's begun.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh, I'm driving. Okay, let's, you know, pull it up, you know, watch it. And my wife pulls it up on our phone, streams it, and she's getting her practice.
I was commentating the game for AJ. I told him I would drive on the way home, and he was like, no, you need your nap. And I'm like, yes, that's true. I'm not a night owl, so I probably will need a nap.
Well, it was already like 11 o'clock our time
by
that point. So it was already pretty late.
Yeah, so I commentated the game, and that was very interesting.
Yeah, so that was kind of fun. Because I'd be like, did that player catch it? And she's like,
I'm like, I don't know. Let's show the replay again. Oh, yeah, he did.
Yeah. Because I'd try to figure out, like, what's going on. So that was kind of fun. A little different with experiencing the game. But, you know, Auburn came out right after, literally the first play. And Tank Bigsby runs it for a touchdown. And you're like, that's awesome. Like, that's how you come out of a delay. Like, immediately score a touchdown. So, proud to see that. The rest of the game was a little slower, but I feel like that's kind of to be expected, especially in the fourth quarter when you're probably subbing in some, you know, extra depth, you know, second strings, third string players. So that'll be an emphasis and something I'll be watching over the next, especially, you know, bigger games like Penn State. You know, how do we finish games? And even Harsin talked about, you know, finishing the games. You need to do that. I mean, that was one of the things that, you know, last year kind of bit us in the butt sometimes, was not finishing the game and playing well. All right, so let's talk about offense for a little bit. So main topic, obviously, quarterbacks. Yeah, I didn't expect to see this much Robbie Ashford. Did you see
him? Me neither. I thought, I expected him to come maybe at the end of the game, especially if we were, you know, playing super well compared to the other team. But, yeah, he came, what quarter did he come into?
First.
For the first quarter?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he was in there, I think, even potentially first drive, maybe second.
I was excited to see him, though. I mean, I do love TJ. I mean, I think he's really great, and it seems like, you know, the players really like him, too. But it was nice to see a new quarterback also, just to see what he can bring to the team.
Yeah, absolutely. And Robbie, I mean, we saw it. Everybody's talked about his athleticism.
Mm-hmm.
And you could see it.
Yeah, I mean, he can run the ball, and that's exciting to see.
Yeah. I mean, when you see a guy, it reminds me of like a track star type speed where he hits that top speed and you're like, this dude can book it,
mm-hmm.
which is a lot of fun to watch. And that's kind of in contrast to like, TJ Finley's a little bit more of a pocket passer. He kind of, sits in the pocket, passes the ball around, hands mm-hmm. the ball off. And then you got this Robbie Ashford and he just goes crazy. Like he's electric. And that's kind of the fun, seeing both of those quarterbacks. I mean, we kind of ran the dual quarterback system where you had mm-hmm. one quarterback in one play, and literally the next play you'd have a different quarterback, and it was back and forth for most of the at least three quarters of the game. So that was kind of cool to see. Really like to see the diversity of what we can do, especially since we know for both of them, while they have obviously their strengths, they have their weaknesses. So I would love to kind of see how they kind of manage that with both playing TJ and Robbie. So we're going to have to see. I mean, even Harsin was like, he liked a lot of the stuff TJ did. Obviously didn't like the two interceptions that he threw.
Yeah.
I mean, like both of them were pretty bad, right?
Yeah, definitely. Honestly, I only noticed one of them. I was talking with your mom during some of the game too, so I guess I missed the second one. But yeah, that is sad to see.
Yeah. Yeah, so I was, I think that was kind of the downfall of TJ at the, probably third quarter. You just kind of saw him, making some mistakes, mental mistakes, really.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the first half, he did pretty good. Like, he even had a, long ball pass to Javarius Johnson that was almost a touchdown.
Almost, yeah.
Got down to, like, the 1 or 2 yard line.
Yeah,
so close. So that was good to see. He has, some little bit, 40-yard pass, some good touch on that. So, there's things that I think TJ obviously did very wrong. And I think he can, from what we've heard, he's a guy that's going to take that back to the drawing board and say, we're going to figure this out. So, hope he can come back and do that. Another kind of thought, and just with the quarterbacks, and I was starting to think about this because there was an interview with Harsin after the game about was the plan to play both quarterbacks this much? And mm-hmm. Harsin essentially said, yeah, this was the game plan. And that made me think, that they had originally said, hey, we're going to, split them up pretty good. And, have TJ come in. He's the quarterback, QB1. But we're also going to have Robbie Ashford as, the running quarterback, having some fun plays.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was kind of interesting, especially since, think back to TJ. TJ, from last season, a lot of fans, including myself, including Jared, have had our criticisms of TJ Finley. And, we had, 5 games to watch him last year. And, now he's got a lot of pressure. I mean, so that pressure can potentially, crumble a little bit, the person. And make them, be put under pressure. So I want to see, how he responds, the next game, how that looks. And kind of in contrast to that, you got Robbie Ashford, who's like, the fan favorite. He's, people that, are look at him and are like, yeah, this is the guy. Like, this should be our quarterback. And while I think he has a spot, I don't know if he's quarterback one yet. Now, I know a lot of people say, yeah, let's put him in there, get him QB1 reps. I don't think Harsin's going to do that. I think we're going to, play kind of this double. Yeah, back and forth.
Not tire either of them out, for these first few games.
Yeah. Well, and get both of them reps. I mean, reps early against non-conference opponents are huge. Like, you know, these are the smaller games where you can get a lot of practice.
Yeah. Well, they don't need to get injured at the beginning of the season either.
So, yeah, I think that that can kind of play into it. So, I don't know if you noticed this. This was one of my favorite plays with Robbie Ashford. And it was TJ too. You know, they had both TJ and Robbie in, and it was a little pitch from TJ to Robbie. And then Robbie had the option to either run it or pitch it to, so it was like a double pitch.
Huh. And is this the one that he ran for like a 20 yards?
Well, then he pitched it to Tank. And then Tank got some yards. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I thought that was just a fun play.
Yeah, a little trick play.
Yeah, a little trick play. So that was kind of cool. I don't know if I've ever seen that type of play. It kind of reminded me of like a triple option. If you think back to like, you can hand the ball off, you can run it yourself or pitch it. So you got three different options. This play had three options, which I thought was pretty cool. So, like to see that, you know, keeping guys on their toes. And, you know, wanted to point out this. Robbie Ashford played a heck of a game. I mean, he had, you know, just by himself, 68 yards rushing, and his completions were pretty decent. He had a QBR of 97.4. So, what that kind of equates to is he had a pretty good game. And if you look at the SEC quarterbacks that played, he was actually at the top. He had the best quarterback rating of any of the SEC quarterbacks, at least in this first week. So, kind of shows you, you know, he was playing very well. And again, like, he was, you know, having, he was loose. Like, he didn't have a whole lot of pressure. Like, he knew he just could come out and, you know, ball pretty much. So, love that. Obviously, you know, that 49-yard run that he had up the sideline.
Yeah, I mean, that was exciting. We were all like, yeah, keep going.
Yeah, and those kinds of plays, I mean, just get the fans excited. I mean, I know it gets Robbie and the team excited. Just, I hope to see plenty more of that. Kind of reminds me back to the days of, you know, Nick Marshall or Malik Willis when they were running the ball a little bit as quarterback. We just hadn't seen that in a while. I mean, Bo Nix had his own flavor of it. He was, you know, a little bit harder hitting, but he wasn't that speedster.
Yeah. Like, he went fast.
Yeah, like Robbie is super fast. So, pretty cool to see that.
Hey, Auburn fans, I want to take a quick timeout from this episode to bring your attention to something very special. Here at the E2C Network, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best content for Auburn fans out there. And best of all, it's free to you. But just because it's free doesn't mean there aren't costs, especially when you have a library of hundreds of podcasts, videos, blogs, and more. Many of you have reached out and asked how you can support this network in the past. Well, now I have your answer. It's called the E2C Network Booster Club over at patreon.com/E2C Network. There you'll find a membership monthly reward system where you can sign up for as little as $1 and get different perks at different tiers. Some of those perks include things such as apparel, eligibility to join us on future podcasts, recognition as an E2C Network booster, exclusive communications, and bonus content that is available nowhere else. If you love this network and want to help us keep producing podcasts like this one, please head on over to patreon.com/E2C Network to join the E2C Network Booster Club. You can also get there by going to our website, e2cnetwork.com/support. Whether you decide to join or not, we are still so appreciative that you would support us by just listening and being here, because each and every one of you is part of our E2C Network family. Well, that's it. Timeout's over. Let's get back into the episode.
All right, let's move on to running backs, and then we'll go into wide receivers. So we had 41 total rushes. Obviously, the run was a kind of emphasis of this game. We wanted to run the ball a lot. Tank Bigsby got a ton of carries, had 147 yards. He had a 9.2 yard average. Like, he was going at it. That's almost like a first down every time he runs the ball. Isn't that crazy? He ended up having a couple touchdowns, and pretty excited to see him back. Obviously, he's 100% good, feeling healthy. He was hitting holes and being super physical. Those are like my two big things. Like, we all know he can hit the hole. He can bounce it out. He can be physical. And he showed that this game, which I thought was awesome to see him back again doing.
Wasn't he the one that did the touchdown where he, like, launched into the end zone?
Yes.
Yeah, that was pretty cool to see.
Yeah, he, like, dove over the line.
Yeah.
Like, Superman style.
Jumped over everybody.
Yeah. So that was, I love those. It's kind of like Bo Jackson over the top. Like, the old videos of him doing that. Yeah. So, yeah, and even with that, I mean, I was thinking about one of the plays, Tank Bigsby would have had a 50-yard run, if not potentially longer, and there was a holding on it, so it got called back. Hmm. So, like, think about that. If that happens, he could have eclipsed, like, close to 200 yards.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Like, in a first game, Tank Bigsby could have had 200 yards if that, you know, happened. So,
I'm glad they keep giving him the ball. He needs it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And let's also talk about Jarquez. Jarquez Hunter, he was the first guy to score for Auburn this year.
Yeah, first touchdown.
Yeah. And he had 34 yards on 8 carries. Not the greatest stats, but I was kind of interested, and I'll see how this plays out throughout the season. It seemed like Jarquez, you know, within the 10-yard line, Jarquez, at least early in the game, was very much a guy they wanted to hand the ball off to him. So I'll be interested to see, because I would have thought you would have given it to Tank, who's a little bit more, you know, a bruiser, like hit the guy.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, hey, Jarquez got 3 touchdowns. So, you know, the stats show he's doing something right. Yep.
I think it was just nice to see that when the quarterbacks threw the ball, someone would catch it the majority of the time.
That's true.
Like, that's what I feel like we were missing last year. You know, the quarterback would throw the ball and then it would just like be an incomplete pass. You know?
Yeah, they would drop it or overthrow or something. Yeah.
So I think at least so far it seems like they've improved on that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, we brought in a new wide receivers coach from the NFL. I wonder if that has to play into it a little bit too.
Yeah.
Because, you know, bringing an NFL mentality to college, you know, I feel like this got helped.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, let's talk about wide receivers a little bit. I mean, we saw a handful of them. We didn't have a whole lot of receptions, only 13 on the day. But we got to see a couple big guys like Javarius Johnson. He had 117 yards on 4 receptions. He was getting it. He was going fast. He was getting open, too.
Yeah.
Which I think is really awesome to see, because that was something over the last year or so. You know, wide receivers – like, Bo Nix was having to put it in some tight spots last year. And it seemed like these wide receivers, you know, got a couple yard separation. It was a little bit easier for them to catch the ball.
Yep.
Another guy, Malcolm Johnson Jr., he made his appearance too. Had a good speed sweep. We also had Coy Moore in there. We had heard a lot about Coy Moore over the offseason. And he got a – it was an 8-yard run, so kind of cool to see him as well. Like I mentioned before, Shedrick Jackson, he was one of our team captains this year. He was really good. He was a solid wide receiver. I don't know if, you know, end of the year he'll be the top guy, but I think where Shedrick fits in is he's just kind of the even kill. You need, you know, a pass over the middle to get a first down. If you don't have, you know, John Samuel Schenker, I would go Shedrick Jackson all day. Seems like a guy that can, you know, get that first down, which how many times, I think it was like 3 different times I noted he got a first down catch. So that's the kind of stuff during the season that you really need. So when you hit those hard opponents, getting that first down on a tough situation just really helps your momentum. So tight ends, John Samuel Schenker, he had a couple good catches, and one of them Erica was commentating for me, and she was like, oh yeah, it looks like he caught it out the middle, and then she watched the review, she's like, oh yeah, that's John Samuel Schenker. Like, and then I was like, oh wow. Like, and then I rewatched it, and we were watching on the phone, so it's a little smaller screen, and then I rewatched that play. That was incredible. I think he had a one-handed catch on that. You know, turns around, catches it, gets like 25 yards. So, yeah, that's pretty cool. Love to see him, you know, doing well again. Offensive line. So the way I kind of evaluate usually offensive line is, you know, did we run the ball well?
Mm-hmm.
I would say we ran the ball exceptionally well.
I'd say so, too.
I think we averaged, it was like close to 9 yards per carry. for the whole, pretty much the whole team, mm-hmm. or 7 yards, it was really high up there. So, you know, I think that's a good sign for offensive line. Mm-hmm. Yes, it was against Mercer. You know, got to keep that in mind. But still, right? Like, you know, if you get...
start off the year strong.
Yeah, you start off the year strong with that. And the other thing, you know, you got to evaluate, you know, do the offensive linemen block the quarterback? You know, do they give the quarterbacks protection? And I think for the most part, they did. I mean, there's maybe a couple of times that, like, TJ got hurried a little bit or Robbie got hurried. But overall, like, I can't think of any super negative plays. And that's, you know, considering, you know, Nick Broms, who had an ACL injury last year, decided to come back for his super senior year, and now he's decided to retire from football just because of the nagging injury. So him at center, I think, is a missing, you know, piece. But we saw Tate Johnson, who's the new center, step up. And really, I didn't even see any major, you know, major issues. Mm-hmm. There was a couple of times I saw, like, some shotgun snaps where they were pretty high. But the quarterbacks, you know, controlled it. They caught the ball, brought it down, were able to run the play still. So, any other thoughts on offense? Did you make any other observations?
I don't think so. I mean, I think we mostly talked about everything.
Yeah. So, let's move on to defense, and then we'll finish out and round it out with special teams. So, obviously, our defense, you know, only allowing 14 points from or 16 points from Mercer. I feel like that is something, you know, pretty good considering Mercer had over 60 points in their very first game. They put up, I think it was 600 yards in their first game too, before playing Auburn. So they could put they had the big playmaking capability, and Auburn for the most part kept them in check. There was a lot of times where, you know, they did get that first down. They did score a couple times, and you're thinking, okay, that's fine. We're still pretty far ahead. So I don't think it was a super lights out performance, you know, a perfect performance by any means, but you got to think, you know, that's something to build on. It's a new new defense, you know, pretty much, because now we don't have Derek Mason. So I think that'll be kind of interesting to see how that develops. A couple of standout guys from the defense. Obviously, Eku Liota had a couple sacks. One was a bad snap. He just, you know, got to the quarterback once he picked up the ball, got a sack. Second one was in the third quarter. He forced a fourth down with the sack. You gotta love that. Like, how any time on third down when it's an obvious, like, the quarterback's gonna pass the ball and just, you know, somebody gets a sack. Like, that's, you know, one of my favorite moments in football. And then Derek Hall even did the same thing. He got a sack on third down. And I really hope to see a lot more of that during the season. Derek Hall and Eku Liota both have that capability. I mean, my prediction is that both of them are going to combine for 20 sacks combined. They're well on their way. They both have three now, or three combined. So they're headed towards that direction. So Donovan Kaufman, and there were some other guys that, you know, have made some really good plays in the secondary. I think the secondary as a whole had some gaps, but they kept everything in front of them. I think the longest, you know, pass play was only about 20-something yards. And, you know, that's what you want to do against these type of teams. You just got to keep it in front of you, let them kind of do their thing, and, you know, execute. There was even, like, one or two times, you know, secondary could have potentially gotten an interception. So, you know, we got to execute and get those. For linebacker, so Cam Riley. Let's talk about Cam Riley, because he had one heck of a game. Not a guy that we heard a lot about in previous years. We had always heard, you know, the Owen Papos. We talked mm-hmm. about Zakobi McLean at linebacker.
Was he on the team last year?
Think so.
Okay. Is he a sophomore this year?
I think so. I'll look him up.
Here, I'll look it up.
Yeah. But, yeah, he ended up having 15 tackles, and then he had a quarterback hurry. Cam Riley, goodness, dude, have a day. Like, he was just – he had so much time on the field. He was doing things. And that's, you know, saying something considering Owen Papo's out on the field as well. Mm-hmm. Just shows like Cam Riley was a, you know, somebody that really came out and wanted to, you know, make an impact.
Definitely. It says he's a junior.
Yeah. So
from Evergreen, Alabama.
Yeah. So pretty cool to see him. Yeah. Excited to see what he can do this year. Yeah. So let's talk about special teams for a second. So Anders Carlson, our man, the Masked Singer.
He got married.
He did.
Yeah. I was having to do a little bit in a little bit of Instagram creeping. I was like, oh, his wife is so beautiful.
Yeah.
So it was exciting to see. It seemed like they got married, I guess, 2 months ago, I think it is.
Yeah.
So enjoying married life, it seems like.
Yeah. So, you know, we had other guys. I think, obviously, you know, last year Bo Nix got engaged and all that. And he got married. Now he's off at Oregon. Mm-hmm. Was it Nick Broms, I think, also potentially got married? It was a couple other offensive linemen. Hmm. So it was like, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
That you're still on the football team, getting married. And I feel like that doesn't normally happen. But, you know, Anders had a good game. He was 6-for-6 on point after attempts. We didn't have to use him in any field goal situations. We were able to score touchdowns. He looked solid from point after attempts, and that's after, you know, him having an ACL surgery. Yeah. So think about that.
Like, he recovered well.
Yeah. So excited to see Anders back. He looked like he's, you know, at peak form. Hopefully, you know, when it comes down to it, he can hit those 40 or, you know, maybe a 50 yarder if we really need him to. A couple things that I noticed as far as kickoffs. So at the very beginning, I don't know if you noticed this, but at the very beginning, you know, Anders would kick off and they would try to run it back. Mercer would try to run it back. And a couple of times they didn't even get to like the 20.
Yeah, I did not pay attention to that.
So those are the things that I'm like, oh, that was really good. But I also played special teams in high school. And I love that, you know, just chasing after pursuing the defender or the, you know, the guy running it back. So that's just a fun kind of way to, for a lot of these guys to get those actual, you know, they may be second or third string on defense or offense. And, you know, they get to hit a guy. They get to, you know, have some fun out there on special teams. And they were having a fun time. I think it was even one time Jarquez, I'm pretty sure, made a tackle at like the 12-yard line. And I was like, no way. Jarquez, get it, boy.
That's funny.
So pretty cool to see him out there doing that. And then pretty much after that, they tried to run it back a couple times, and they were done. Like, they were not running it back. They were just going to say, yeah, we're going to fair catch this, put it out at the 25, and we're done. As far as punt returns, I think we got a special guy. I mean, how many times, even during this game, we got to watch Javarius Johnson, number 6, run it back from a punt return. That was awesome.
Yeah, he did pretty well with that.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a couple of times he ran it back pretty darn far.
Mm-hmm.
And there was really only one mistake where I feel like he should have caught it. It was a shorter punt in the air, and then he let it bounce, and then it came to him, and he ran it. But he ended up getting tackled, and it was inside the 10-yard line. So it's one of those things where he should have caught it early. But, you know, that's things to, you know, correct when you go forward.
Mm-hmm.
Oscar Chapman, our punter, punter from Down Under. Punter from Down Under. Oscar Chapman, and he only had one punt, which in most games is a fantastic thing, and this was definitely a good thing. He only had one punt for 29 yards. He kind of angled it towards the sideline, kicked it out of bounds, no return. So that was kind of interesting to see. I wonder if that'll be a strategy, instead of just pinning them deep and kicking it super high towards the end zone, if we'll start angling it a little bit with him. So I think that does it for the wrap-up of this Mercer game. Again, Auburn wins. We are 1-0. Yeah. It's always fun to get in the win column, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Especially starting the season. Start off strong.
Yeah. And We will be back a little bit later to talk about the next game, San Jose State, so stay tuned for that. But before we get out of here, you can find me on Twitter at AJAY_. And if you can find Erica, where can we find you?
Follow my hubby or E2C Network.
Yeah, I'll post some stuff. So excited to keep it going. And as always, it's great to be an Auburn Tiger and War Eagle.
War Eagle.
Thank you for tuning in today's episode on the E2C Network. On your way out, I want to remind you to stop by e2cnetwork.com. It's your one-stop shop for all our content across our podcast, YouTube channel, and much more. To stay up to date with us, make sure you're following social media accounts such as Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. While our content here may always be Auburn sports heavy, if it's orange and blue, it's what we do. War Eagle.